streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com, or download the app today.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. Hour two. It is a Tuesday. Nick Wright, 5 minutes. Brian Kelly, LSU football coach. Jaden Daniels, coach at college for the Tigers, joining us in 40 minutes. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. J-Mac, last night was just so good. The Knicks game was fantastic. The Denver Laker finish was unbelievable. Bad night for NBA haters, because I don't know what the ratings are. They had to be good. Totally, yeah. Ultimately captivating.
I don't care.
Thought Philly and the Lakers were going to pull off wins. Nope.
Yeah. By the way, I don't care. We don't care if the ratings are bad. All we care about is good games, good drama, good storylines. But home teams now 11-0 straight up in the NBA playoffs. Colin, that ends tonight with a big thud. We gave out winners yesterday, right?
Dallas winning tonight on the road.
Lock it up. First half, too.
Dallas over the Clips. You and I both agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. All right, we play this game every year. It's kind of funny because people make fun of my comps on this, but we're going to play the high-low game. I'm going to take all the first-round quarterbacks, and basically, if it goes really well, this is how good it could go, or on the low end, this is sort of what it becomes. So let's play the high-low game. We'll start with Caleb Williams. Well, everybody's comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, so we're not going to outthink the room. He has a lot of Patrick Mahomes capabilities. He moves around. He's got a strong arm. There's arm angles. He's just a very, very unique talent, Caleb Williams. So I would say the high is Patrick Mahomes, and the low is Kyler Murray. Maybe a little too much sandlot football. Spectacular, but not as consistent as you thought he would be. The high-low game for Caleb Williams, Mahomes, and Kyler Murray. Drake May. Well, the high-low game for me on Drake May is, first of all, Justin Herbert. So I think Drake May actually looks and plays a little like Justin Herbert. Herbert was more accurate consistently, but he's 6'3 and a half. He's 220. He moves. The low end is Carson Wentz. He looks the part, but he's just not consistent enough with his accuracy. Everything looks like it should work. Nice arm, can move, big, strong, can let it rip. He just doesn't deliver the ball squarely and accurately enough. High-low for Drake May is Justin Herbert and Carson Wentz. Okay, Jaden Daniels, the high-low game. The high is easy for me, Lamar Jackson. Electric runner who is more than capable to make throws. In fact, I think he's a better thrower out of college than Lamar Jackson. The low end is RG3, which is he just takes too many hits for his small frame. So the high-low Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, and RG3. J.J. McCarthy, high-low game. High, I think it's Alex Smith. There's a lower ceiling. Coachable is going to be about as good in the NFL as his coaching and his surroundings. Smith was a bust until Jim Harbaugh and Andy Reid. The low end is Marcus Mariota. Slender frame, not really able to carry average talent. Can win games, may get you to the playoffs, but the high-end, low-end for J.J. McCarthy, high-end Alex Smith, depends on the coach, low-end Marcus Mariota, certain clear limitations. High-end, low-end Bo Nix. Now, I think the high-end, because of accuracy, college starts, and productivity, is Drew Brees. Coachable, accurate, schemed up. The low-end is Derek Carr. He's okay. Doesn't win enough. Never feel like he's a top 10 guy. There's something there. A pro, pretty accurate, but not a great deep ball. And you always feel like, yeah, we should probably move on and get another quarterback. Bo Nix, high, low, is Drew Brees and Derek Carr. And then Michael Penix, the kid I like out of Washington. I think the high end is Mark Brunell, a really underrated all-time quarterback, a lefty out of Washington, moved very, very well. Smart guy, moved well out of Washington, threw a beautiful ball. The low end is Jameis Winston. Again, it looks the part. He's got the arm. He can move. It just doesn't work enough. He just doesn't win enough. So the high-low for Michael Penix, Mark Brunell. That's not a shot. Mark was a really good player. Got Jacksonville when they were starting out of the playoffs. He goes, Tom Coughlin was his coach. The low end is Jameis Winston. Nobody doubts the first-round talent. Throws a beautiful ball, but doesn't quite square up with what you want as a franchise quarterback. All right. So that's my high-low game. So any pushback on that? Any pushback for you on high-low game?
I just thought the lows were all like good quarterbacks, guys who were multi-year starters. I was waiting for Zach Wilson as a low.
Caleb Williams. Well, first of all, I think these quarterbacks, two things. One, I think it's a good quarterback class. Two, we have a lot of really smart offensive coaches. So Caleb is the one that you have a defensive coach. Uh-oh. But the number two quarterback is going to go to Cliff Kingsbury and a lot of draft picks and cap space in a kind of a weaker, weird, wonky division sometime. Okay. We think Dallas is going down and the Giants are going down. So the Giants, Brian Daboll could get a quarterback. And then the Vikings, Kevin O'Connell could get a quarterback. Sean Payton could get a quarterback. Okay. Mike McDaniel could get a quarterback. I think in this quarterback class, it's a better than average class. It's better than average class. Let's start with that. And I think there's a lot of highly clever offensive young coaches where these guys could land. So that's my takeaway.
I mean, Bo Nix is Derek Carr. He's going to make a ton of money, be like an 8-year starter in the league. Bo Nix would take that in a heartbeat, wouldn't he? That's not really a low. I think you're just being really generous. Look at the low end. Jameis Winston. He started for like 6 years in the league. Carr's still a starter. Mariota.
Yeah.
Like these guys. I need to see lows of Trey Lance. Zach Wilson. Guys who were just total busts.
Remember, a lot of draft classes, that class, Zach Wilson. COVID quarterback class. Mac Jones started 1 year. Trey Lance, almost no starts. What's different in this quarterback class? Caleb Williams, 3 years, 2.5 years starting. Bo Nix, 61 okay. starts. Michael Penix, 5 years, 6 years of starting. This class is unique in that almost all these quarterbacks have multiple years of starting. Bo Nix, Penix, Caleb, J.J. McCarthy, That class was the COVID class where, like, okay. Zach Wilson played this the weakest BYU schedule ever. I mean, their toughest game that year could have been Coastal Carolina.
How about, like, Rosen from UCLA or, like, a Jake Locker? Guys who basically within,
well,
like, 6 months
all,
you were, like, done.
Jake Locker I never bought into. I said he was a better Tebow-ish, kind of, you know, yeah. In years later after it was, you know, after Jake Locker left, because Tebow, I think, was first. Jake Locker basically was Tim Tebow with a better ball placement. But that's all he kind of is.
Right.
I never bought into that at all. Part of it was because I knew people that coached him, and they didn't buy into it.
Yeah, right.
But I think this is a really good class. I really do.
Love the optimism.
So I was saying this, Nick, right around the corner. I was saying this about Joel Embiid last night. So if for 8 years you are the guy for a quarterback, a star pitcher, a striker in soccer, or a goalie in hockey, or you're the star player, and the team keeps changing GMs and coaches and complimentary players, and you can't win a second playoff series in the significantly, inarguably weaker East, then it's on you. And that scrum at the end of the game, that the idea that with Embiid a superstar center in the lane, and the fact that the Knicks got 2 3-pointers, good looks, 3-pointers, hit one, where's Embiid? Embiid in the first two games in the series, no rebounds in the fourth quarter. It's not like the Knicks have Shaq or the Knicks have Jokic or Wemby or some insane talents. Mitchell Robinson, it's the kid that was on the floor last night. Hartenstein. And Embiid can't get a rebound in the fourth quarter. So Charles Barkley after the game was critical of Joel Embiid.
What I'd like to see from Joel, he got to get his head up. Because he's the leader of the team. He's the best player. He's one of the best players in the world. If your best player got his head down like that, he can say, it's unacceptable, it's unacceptable. We just got to come out and win game three. We got to take it one game at a time. As the leader of the team, he cannot have his head down. He's got to say, guys, we're fine. They did what they're supposed to do. We got to go home and win game three and four.
Yeah, after the game, this is what Barkley is talking about with Joel Embiid.
Everybody on the floor was trying to call a timeout, myself included, Nico, coach on the sideline. But that didn't give it to us. But, you know, forget about the timeout. There's a bunch of fouls. You know, that's unacceptable.
Just say 8 years, all these moving parts, one constant. Can't win a second round series in the East.
By the way, did you see on that Hartenstein rebound who Joel Embiid was boxing out? 6'5" Josh Hart, not the 6'11" center who just came crashing in and grabbed it. One last word. I heard Barkley say Joel Embiid's the leader. I know Kyle Lowry's only been there a year. He's a veteran. He's been in way more playoff series. He's won a title. I would challenge that Kyle Lowry is probably the veteran in that locker room who's going to speak up and have the respect of everyone. I don't know that Embiid is that. Like, we talk about with this Durant, you know? Like, is Durant pounding the table in the huddle? I don't think he is.
Well,
I think Kyle Lowry might be more that guy.
The leader doesn't have to be the best player.
Right.
I mean, Draymond Green is often the leader for the Warriors. Chris Paul was a leader for the Suns. Booker's the better player at this point in their careers.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hi, it's the Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball. All for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
J-Mac was asking a question during the break. He said, who's better all-time, Jokic or Tim Duncan? And it really highlights how the game has changed. Duncan wasn't asked to pass or shoot in his day. He was the big fundamental. He was a great defensive player, great scorer, great rebounder. Jokic now in the modern game is an elite passer, an elite shooter, not as good defensively. They can both rebound. So it really shows you Duncan and Jokic highlight the change of the game. The game is now more skilled. Your bigs can shoot and pass. You know, Sabonis could when I covered him, but by and large, he didn't look to Shaq for shooting and passing. It was power. It was dominance. It was rebounding. So Duncan, for his time, was a Jokic. He was great at what we asked centers to do. We asked centers to defend and rebound and score. Now we ask centers to be capable shooters and also move the ball. Don't be a hole. Get rid of it. You know, Patrick Ewing, you dump the ball to him, it was over. You'd never see it back. Jokic is different. So it really is. We ask our players now to be Jokic. If you're just Duncan and can't shoot and you can't defend the wing, I'm not saying that Duncan wouldn't figure out ways to be important today, but I've said this about Jordan. He would be great today, but he was not a great passer or a great long-range shooter. Kobe, you could argue, actually fits. Kobe was a clever passer when he decided to pass. He was also had great range. So it's not that Jordan wouldn't be amazing and relentless and win, but there are players that are ahead of their time. Larry Bird in his prime, if Larry Bird broke into the league today, he would be Luka, but a better passer. That's what he would look like. He'd be a more clever passing Luka. Limitations defensively, unbelievable shooter, always gets his shot, runs the break. That's what he would be. Charles Barkley was ahead of his time. He could score low, transition, perimeter. Barkley would be unbelievable today. Bird would be. LeBron would be in any era. But there are players. What would you do with Kareem? What would you do? Like, the skyhook is great. It's two. So he'd be a great dominant scorer. But there would be times the pace of the play, as he aged, the pace was slower with him. Now, again, Magic brought the most out of him. He could be dominant. Not saying Michael or Kareem wouldn't be dominant 9, 10, 12-time All-Star. I'm not saying that. But the game, like Barkley and Bird, age really well. Duncan wouldn't quite age as well. He wouldn't. Now, you say, well, would Jokic have aged back then? Yeah, because he's big, he's strong, and he doesn't miss around the basket. So Jokic would have aged better than Duncan. He would have moved into a different era and been more successful.
I mean, Duncan's nickname was the big fundamental, yeah, right? He did everything perfect.
That a big was asked to do.
Right. Well, Jokic does everything Tim Duncan did, but better. And that's not a knock. Duncan, obviously,
Defend like Tim.
He does not defend like Tim, but passer, score. Duncan never averaged like 25 points a game once in his career. Jokic over 25 all the time. Duncan, not the passer, never averaged 4 assists a game. Jokic is putting up triple-doubles every night.
Yeah, no, he's...
The game is totally different.
The skill level is completely different.
I bring this up because watching Jokic last night, he didn't have a great game, right? And then you look up, he's got 27, 20, and 10 assists. What the hell? How? And you start looking, and I have Duncan as like a top 10 guy all time. And Jokic is on the track, Colin, to be a top 10 player in the history of basketball.
Well, if he wins another championship this year, and he's got worthy adversaries... Well, he's gonna probably beat Boston.
By the way, Duncan played with David Robinson, Hall of Famer, Ginobili,
Tony Parker.
And Jokic has played with how many All-Stars? Jamal Murray's never been an All-Star, ever. It's like, oh my gosh, like what he's doing with this group, and I know they're the best starting five in the league, but it's not like they're All-Stars. Just consider that stuff, folks. I mean, yeah. It's wild.
J-Mac with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, let's go back to the NFL. The draft is Thursday. Caleb Williams is going first. We know that. But here we go. Anonymous NFL coach guy believes it's a no-brainer that Jaden Daniels would be drafted right there. Adding, Jaden looks like the best guy in the draft. Are you kidding me? Daniels over Caleb Williams? Come on, Colin. This is where it's silly season, right now. Come on.
Is this anonymous NFL coach or unemployed coach?
That's a good one.
All right. Yeah, I think
there's zero evidence.
Just nothing. On frame, you would, because he's bulkier and stronger. I would take Caleb over Jaden. Jaden Daniels' concern is he takes a lot of hits and he's real thin.
Yeah.
That's a concern. We saw Bryce Young. We were like, oh, well, he looks small. Like, it matters.
Is this the same guy who told Tom Pelissero that Zach Wilson had better tape than Patrick Mahomes coming up?
No, I mean, Trevor Lawrence.
It's like, come on. I don't know. Can the draft get here already? Next up is the Falcons got Kirk Cousins this offseason, but they may get penalized for tampering in the process. Cousins seemed to implicate himself when doing his introductory presser, saying the team had first-person contact with him before the start of the league year. Reports indicate that discipline is soon to come and likely to be harsh, given Cousins' on-the-record statement.
Oh, come now, on. So stupid.
It is kind of dumb, but the Dolphins lost a 2023 first-rounder and a 2024 third for tampering with Brady and Peyton.
Oh, go ahead.
The league's review on tampering will not conclude this week, so it likely will not be impact this draft for the Falcons.
I think it's dumb. So let me ask you this. I'm Kirk Cousins, and in my rehab, you know, I've got my private jet, and I'm banging around, and I go see a buddy, and I go see, and all of a sudden I see a Falcons, you know, because rich people hang with rich people, and all of a sudden I see a Falcons team president, and maybe Arthur Blank said something. I can't talk to him. Some of this stuff is just dumb. Players talk. I mean, how do you think affairs start? They start as verbal affairs. You start talking. You know, I mean, like, the idea that players now in this world we live in with all these platforms, and it's so silly to me. By the way, Kirk Cousins, ultimately, why did he choose Atlanta? Because of tampering? No, because they had a tight end, two running backs, the best offensive line of all the teams available, Drake London, and all they need is an edge rusher. He did a Tom Brady. He looked at it and he went, they're going to pay me. It's a great O-line. I'm coming off an Achilles surgery. And like Tampa, they need one big draft pick. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers needed a right tackle, Tristan Wirfs. These guys needed edge rusher, Dallas Turner, or whoever. So the idea that this had influence, because I could bump into somebody at a million networks tomorrow.
Yeah.
Doesn't have any influence.
It's funny.
And you couldn't stop me if I wanted to.
Yeah. When I worked at this newspaper, I was covering some of these high school recruits who were big time in the area. And there's this thing called the bump, where coaches know your habits, whether you go to an arcade or Starbucks, whatever. And it just so happens that these star athletes would just bump into coaches out and about in public. Fancy how that happens, right? Kirk Cousins just bumping into Arthur Blank somewhere.
You do.
Likely story.
You do get, though, that Kirk Cousins, if Kirk Cousins is going on vacation, so he lives in Minnesota, he's rehabbing. His wife, you know, he's like, hey, let's take the kids. Let's go to the Bahamas. You do get Kirk Cousins would stay in a penthouse in the nicest hotel in the Bahamas. So would Arthur Blank. And you'd probably be upstairs in the VIP room upstairs at the Grand Bahama or the Ritz-Carlton. You do get, and anybody listening that is one of those rich people, and maybe nobody's listening, when you travel around the country, what you find is, if you're in that upper 1% class, you see the same people in Aspen, in the Hamptons. You think Howard Stern doesn't bump into the same 25 people? These NFL owners, eight owners own a house a mile from here in Beverly Hills. Eight NFL owners live around the corner from where we're at. They don't live in Lubbock. And so the idea that Kirk Cousins could bump into somebody with an NFL team on vacation, I think it's stupid to think that makes the decision. Tom Brady could bump into whoever he wants. He wanted to go to a place with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Bruce Arians, in a lousy division. That's what Kirk Cousins saw.
This makes me wonder. Remember the McVay-Stafford story? They bumped into each other in Cabo and then hung out.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Yeah, just so, happened to be at this five-star resort in Cabo.
Okay. So it's funny. I just, once every few years, a buddy of mine invites me to Cabo. And he's got a nice place. He's a ritzy guy. Hollywood guy. Only one I know. Who was there? Tony Gonzalez, the president of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sitting there having a beer with my wife, and the president of the Kansas City Chiefs sits down, introduces himself. And then there's Tony Gonzalez next to us. So the point is, if I would have been Kirk Cousins and taken my family to Cabo, I would have run into the Kansas City Chiefs president and Tony Gonzalez. And by the way, there was also another famous person there. Don't want to call him out. He was there. I didn't see him. But it was a nice resort, and you know, there's five or six resorts, and there's, you know, so I just think it's nonsense.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins chose it, not because he bumped into somebody. Why was the rumor out there Kirk Cousins was going to Atlanta? Because it made the most sense, right?
That's fair.
Weakest division, best O-line, he's an old guy with an Achilles surgery.
Final story is the Lakers, Colin, that's blown lead last night, or 20 points, 10 straight losses to Denver. Mm-hmm. However, there is a report that no matter what happens in this series, Darvin Ham will be retained by the Lakers next season. Now, some of it is just reading tea leaves, skepticism the Genie Bus would want to pay him $8 million to not coach next season. Colin, I would be shocked if the Lakers got swept in the first round.
He's keeping his job.
After getting swept last year and this year?
By the best team in the world, yeah.
That would shock me, and Laker fans would probably...
What, not go to the games?
They would stage a coup. No, they're going to the games.
Of course they are.
The games are a scene.
Yeah, so they're going to go to the games.
So Genie Bus has the fans over
there. You didn't fire the coach. You want more popcorn? Want more beer?
You know who I want to know? I want to know what LeBron thinks about.
LeBron,
the free agent.
I don't love Darvin Ham's rotations all the time. But there are limitations here. Sometimes he'll have LeBron and Austin Reeves off the floor at the same time. I would never do that. Those are your two playmakers. But he's going to be back. I don't think he's the problem.
Who is the problem?
The last 10 times they've played Denver, 8 times D'Lo.
Denver's the problem.
Yeah, and Denver. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
So yesterday, as I am prone to do, working the phones diligently, Big J Journalism, and I was talking to a source in the Dallas Metroplex, and we were talking about the Cowboys. He said, it's a bit of a circus here. And he goes, you know, they don't want to pay Dak right now. And Dak's saying all the right stuff, and it's not about this. But here, I saw a headline this morning. This cracks me up. What are the Cowboys' best options at quarterback if Dak Prescott leaves? Get another one? Two teams that should draft a quarterback in the first round or second round this year that nobody's talking about? The Jets and the Cowboys. They both should. Dak has a dead cap hit next year. Let's say he plays this year. Even the following year, he has a $40 million dead cap hit. So you got to draft a quarterback now who's cheap, second, third round. Next year's quarterback class, not great. Shedeur Sanders. And Cam Ward at Miami's on his third team, but he is pretty talented. But let's just take the names out. Take the names Dallas Cowboys out, Jerry Jones out, and Dak Prescott. Because everybody gets emotional with the names. And if I just said this, $58 million quarterback, 8 years, 2 playoff wins, 1 against the sub-500 team with a 91 passer rating in the playoffs. Does that sound impossible to replace? Sounds challenging. Mahomes and Brady, that's impossible. Mahomes will be impossible. Replacing Kirk Cousins or Dak, it's challenging. That's the league. Practice is challenging. So if you take out one playoff win over Tampa, they were under 500. If you just take that game out in 8 years, Dak is 1-6 in the playoffs, 10 TDs, 7 picks. We're not talking GOAT stuff here, right? What's Dallas going to do? Draft a quarterback in the second round this year. Put some heat on him. Oh, there'll be a dead cap hit. All right. You want to kick it down the road more? You've been kicking that can down the road with Dak for years. You want to keep doing that? So, I mean, Green Bay's hit on 3 straight quarterbacks. You can't hit on another one? I mean, it's, again, this idea, I was talking to my source yesterday, and he's saying this. Everybody's freaking out in Dallas. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We're not talking Josh Allen. We're not talking Joe Montana. We're not talking Favre. That was a concern for Green Bay. Favre, thank God they got Rodgers. Rodgers, they got Jordan Love. Dak is a fourth-round pick, never been a beautiful thrower. Take out one playoff game in his career over the worst team they ever played, Tampa, sub-500. He's 1-6. 10 TDs, 7 picks, 91 passer rating. He's a playoff quarterback. Okay, draft another quarterback. Jets and the Cowboys should draft a quarterback. Nothing against Aaron Rodgers. But I would probably in the third round, after you get an offensive lineman, maybe in the first round and a wide receiver, I would consider if I was the Jets moving down, getting an extra pick and drafting a quarterback in the third round. I think Dallas in the second round. By the way, if you go look at Green Bay, where they drafted quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, end of the first round. Where's Dallas's pick? End of the first round. It's a perfect time to get Penix or Bo Nix. Just a thought. Brian Kelly, LSU football coach, next. For hot water that never runs out, go to tanklessmadesimple.com. 15-year limited warranty. Navien tankless water heaters. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered every step of the way with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out. As the NBA postseason winds down, it's fantastic. Super easy to get started with DraftKings. If you're a first-timer, really easy. Try betting on something like a team to win. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook's app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple, really. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike, and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, every place he's been, Division II on up, he's ended up being the National Coach of the Year at that level. He's led his teams wherever, Notre Dame, LSU, to 10-plus wins in seven straight seasons. I think he's one of the smartest guys in the sport. Brian Kelly, third year with LSU, is joining us before he heads out to a golf course. His off-season is about 3 weeks, so he's got the clubs ready right after this interview. Brian, let's start with this. I like Jaden Daniels a lot. If I had the number two pick, I would take him. I worry a little bit about his frame, a little bit, but the SEC's got NFL bodies. Is that a fair concern that he is tall and a little thin?
Yeah, but I don't think you lose any sleep. I think if he was a poor decision maker, if he was sloppy with the football, if he couldn't walk into an NFL locker room and lead the guys, then those are things that leave you not getting any sleep. He can put on weight. Those are small concerns. He is a flat-out playmaker. He'll change the look of your franchise, and I think that's why I believe he's the best quarterback in the draft.
Now, LSU doesn't lose a lot of games. What is his temperament if you go to Washington and you get, you know, the media's big and they're loud and it's cold and they're beating up on him and he's 7-10, and what's his makeup, his personality?
Well, in his first year where he struggled at times, he was the same guy each and every week. He went to work. He continued to lead. He worked on his craft. So, you know, this is a guy that, you know, he can handle the ups and downs of it. You know, he got knocked out of the game against Alabama, concussed in the game, and found his way back the next week against Florida, and set an NCAA record. So this is a guy that, gets knocked down and gets back up the next week.
So Malik Nabers has a little OBJ. LSU is a wide receiver and defensive back factory. He's a yards after the catch guy. Again, let's ask the durability questions. Can he play day one in the NFL? What do you make of Malik Nabers, who people now are saying is a top five pick?
Well, again, I had him for 2 years, and in terms of a durability, every day at practice, and I'm talking every day at practice in one-on-ones, going up for balls, competing in the red zone, you know, playing in a bowl game when he didn't need to play in a bowl game. He does not care. He wants to compete every single day. So he's going to answer the bell. He's going to play every game. He's going to compete. It's just in his DNA. It's in his nature. So, you know, look, there are many great wide receivers in this draft. The first three or four are as good as there have been in a long time. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder when it comes to wide receiver. But he can do it all. The yards after the catch, elite speed, and certainly can go up and get the football. So, again, I think he's going to change the way an NFL team looks. And, again, do it right away.
You did at Notre Dame. Notre Dame, you won early. But you weren't SEC deep early. By the end of your stay, you went toe-to-toe with Georgia twice, and you looked the part. And no fool's gold. This was you had backups that would play in the NFL. Part of the secret to beating an SEC team is O-line play. Michigan had it this year, where you can just protect your quarterback. You did a remarkable job at Notre Dame. It became kind of a factory for offensive linemen. Joe Alt is somebody you recruited. I think he's the best tackle. That's what my people say. I don't know if he's Trent Williams. But did you know initially high school? Is this what you perceived first tackle off the board NFL draft top 10?
Well, I think the only thing that was the question mark was, would he be able to put on the weight necessary to be that anchor? And we felt very confident with our strength and conditioning team and his demeanor and the way he handled things and, of course, the pedigree, that he was going to be able to do it. Look, you know, being a left tackle takes more than just length and athletic ability. There are a lot of guys that have that. His demeanor is outstanding. You know, he has a ability to forget and move on to the next play.
Yeah.
The left tackle is going to get the best of the best. I just think, you know, the things that we don't talk about enough with the best offensive linemen is the right makeup. The demeanor of a Joe Alt is that he's a pro's pro. He's going to go to work every day, and he's going to know, you may get me once, but I'm going to learn from that, and I'm going to shut you out when it's most important, and he's a very, very smart football player.
The great coaches in college, I think Nick Saban proved this. He lost a lot of good coordinators. He reinvented his program. They went from corners to receivers and quarterbacks. He reinvented it. He didn't get stubborn. Mike Krzyzewski didn't like the one-and-done initially, and then he joked, I kept getting beat by one-and-done guys, so he went one-and-done. If you start looking at what you're going to have to face now, the transfer portal, NIL. People can grumble about it, but Brian, it's here.
Right.
It's the reality of it. Give me something you like about the transfer portal and NIL. Everybody grumbles about it. You've used it. Deion's used it. Lincoln's used it. Nick used it. What? Give me something you like about it.
Well, you can manage your roster during this period of time. This second portal where you can't transfer within the SEC. You know, you can manage your roster. Guys that are struggling at this level to play in the SEC, they now can look for an escape route. They can look for a place where they can go and compete somewhere else. And it allows you to bring somebody in that might be at a lower level that can help your roster right away. So the ability to manage your roster in this second portal is a positive thing from that perspective, where it allows kids to get out and find a place and land at a school where they can, in fact, compete, and you can upgrade your roster. So I think that's a positive from that perspective.
When you left for LSU, I said, I totally get it. It's easier to recruit Southern schools, warm weather, than Northern schools. I completely get it. Notre Dame's got academics. It's tougher than average. It's cold weather. It's a small town. I got it. You got some pushback, but I think in the end, there's just most people understood it. The downside is 10 wins is not good enough at LSU. You know what I mean? It's like SEC is, they show up on Wednesday and they're Winnebago for the game. Take me through the move from Notre Dame to LSU. Describe passion for somebody that's never been in the heart of the South.
Well, certainly there was an understanding that we had to retool in a number of ways. The roster was not where it needed to be. And so there is a little bit of grace, but you still have to compete. We won the SEC West in our first year, and certainly in our second year, provided our fan base with the number one offense in the country. So, again, you can't just come down here and say, hey, we're going to rebuild. You have to still provide a nationally qualifying football team, which we did. But now the time is such that we've had 2 years. We're building depth within our football team. This has got to be a team that now competes for a playoff spot and puts itself in a playoff situation as we continue to build the depth of this roster, so we can be in the consistent conversation like a Georgia and an Alabama and the teams that have been there each and every year.
Finally, he's getting overlooked because there's so many good receivers, and Malik Nabers and Harrison and Roma Dunze are taking all the press. You have a young man named Brian Thomas, and again, LSU does receivers like nobody else. What is he? What's he like? Describe. If I'd never seen him play and I'm an NFL GM and I haven't popped a tape in, what would you tell me to expect?
Well, first of all, his ability is not just about running nine routes and going down the field and catching the ball. His ability to break tackles, his ability to make the difficult catches when he's up in the air. I mean, I'm talking about acrobatic catches. A guy that can make the play after the catch. He's got yards after the catch. Again, a unique talent that, again, when you look at it, wins the one-on-one matchups. We had two guys that if you doubled anybody, the other guy got one-on-one matchups, and he beat the best. So he's just going to add to an NFL roster, and if you give him one-on-one coverage, he's got elite speed, he's got size, and the ability to make plays after the catch.
All right, I know you're going to go golf. Stay away from Saban. All he does is golf now. Do not stay away from
no
Nick.
No doubt.
It's all good for him. He's happy in retirement. Thanks, Brian.
No doubt. Take care, guys. Good having you on.
Thank all right. You. Brian Kelly, LSU football coach. Nick Saban's retiring the way he should. Grab the clubs. He always says, I do the chores in the morning. Wife tells me what to do the chores. Then I'm out to the golf course. My daughter told me yesterday, she goes, Dad, you know what I want someday? A golf cart. I want to live somewhere where I can have a golf cart. That's where you live. You live in one of those fancy places, don't you? I never thought about a golf cart. Do you want one? Why are you looking at me like that?
My
daughter, out of the blue.
In theory, they're great. It's not like there's a ton of parking spots for them, though. They're not that much of a help. It's just,
man,
they're kind of cool.
The idea.
Yeah, you put a little speaker on one and maybe dress it up with some Christmas lights. You got like a nighttime vibe going on, right?
My daughter out of the blue said that. Dad, I want a golf cart. And I'm like, are you going to retire? Are you moving to Boca Vista? What do you mean? You're like 23 years old. She goes, wouldn't it be great to live somewhere you could go around the community in a golf cart? And I said, I'm 60. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. She's 23?
Yeah, you're 23.
She has a golf cart?
You know, she's ahead of her time. She's getting ready for retirement. Has to work a little more.
What a time.
Springtime's the perfect time to give a fresh look to your security. SimplySafeColin.com. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. So earlier this hour, I want to put it back up. I did my high-low comp game with the quarterbacks in the first round. The high-low comp game. And basically, Jason's pushback was, they're all good. And I said, well, I think this, first of all, these quarterbacks are unique. Almost all of them have like 30, 40, 50 starts. Bo Nix has 61. That's insane. That's the most starts ever for a college quarterback, I do believe. It's certainly in the ballpark of it. So I think you have a lot of starts, a lot of film. That reduces the miss rate. It also gives you this generation of quarterbacks also, over the last 4 to 5 years, this generation of quarterbacks has far more throws in high school, in summer, in off-season work. So my high-low for Caleb Williams, high is Mahomes, low is Kyler Murray, where he's a little off-script too much. High-low Drake May is Justin Herbert and Carson Wentz. He looks like Herbert, but Carson Wentz always struggled with consistent accuracy. Jaden Daniels, Lamar and Robert Griffin, I do worry about Jaden's frame and the NFL game's faster, taking hits and getting beat up. J.J. McCarthy is Alex Smith, which I think is a lower ceiling than you'd expect for a first-round quarterback, but mostly dependent on the coach he gets to win. And then Marcus Mariota, again, stayed around for a while, won some games. I think he made the playoffs. But I don't see McCarthy as quite the talent of the others. Bo Nix, Drew Brees, I do think if he goes to Denver or a Mike McDaniel, he could be highly productive. I mean, Tua puts up huge numbers with the right coach. The other side is Derek Carr. And when I saw him play live, I thought, you know, Carr throws a better deep ball, but Bo doesn't have a big arm. He doesn't throw the ball down the field great. A lot of it was schemed up in college. Can he go off script, which you have to do to win big in the NFL? And then Michael Penix Jr. is Mark Brunell and Jameis Winston. And the Jameis Winston comp is, it looked the part, it just didn't win enough. And J-Mac, if you had to pick apart one, what would it be?
I started to put together a list during the break. What if I said J.J. McCarthy's low end? And I like J.J. McCarthy. I need to preface that. What if his low end was Josh Rosen? What would you say? Josh Rosen, by the way, a lot of starts at UCLA, 59 touchdown passes.
He is more mobile than Josh Rosen and won a lot more games. Okay. So he's a bigger winner and he moves better.
Okay, what if I told you that Jaden Daniels' low end, and I like Jaden Daniels, need to preface it, I'm not a hater. What if I told you his low end was Vince Young? What would you say? I mean, Vince Young was a legendary.
I don't think he's that big and strong, but I think he's a much better thrower than Vince Young. He's not as big and strong. Vince Young won a lot of games. I was never a fan, but won a lot of games.
In college, not in the pros.
Yeah, I mean, in the NFL, he was okay. I mean, Jaden is much better from the pocket than Vince Young, and I'm not sure anybody's been outside of Lamar. Vince Young's the best high school football player in America ever. Quarterback.
And then for Bo Nix, just to be high so I can be positive, what if instead of Breeze, who's a lock Hall of Famer, what if I said Matt Ryan, who's not a lock Hall of Famer, did win an MVP
that's
award?
Maybe that's better.
I think like Drew Breeze.
But again, Bo Nix is more athletic than Matt Ryan. He moves better.
Yes.
And early Drew Breeze moved pretty well. He didn't run a lot, but he could. Yeah, I don't think
he's... But Drew Breeze, slam dunk Hall of Fame. I think even Bo... Bo Nix would have to be unbelievable.
That's fair. Matt Ryan and Derek Carr. Matt Ryan won an MVP.
He did. And he went to a Super Bowl, should have won one. But
you should have piped up in the morning meeting. I would have given you that one.
Well, why would I give it away in the morning meeting when I could do it here and it's a better back and forth?
Good call. A lot of smart takes today. Hour 3 coming up.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovis store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovis.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.